Welcome to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. I am Wood.
Made daily. With organic, farm to table, localized, neuralized, sterilized, available on Amazon, shipped worldwide, not available on Sundays, but now available on thebeastradio.com. Broken Pencil Logic. You stay classy, internet. I'm Suave Burgundy.
Yeah, man. Another special edition. Make sure you stay tuned to the end of the episode because we still are dropping You Know Who Ain't Gonna Win. This is what we do.
Another COVID-free edition.
A COVID-free edition. And this isn't even a normal show. We're actually recording this on election night. And to show you we give zero fucks, we have a special guest. Representing Crown Heights, Brooklyn Zone, Rusty Jux up in the motherfucking building.
Salute, y'all.
Man, Rusty Jux, man, what's good with you? We know you had a busy year musically. We'll get into that here a little bit later on, man. And Suave ain't too familiar with the body of work, man, but he gonna learn today. That's for sure.
Life is for learning.
Okay.
So let's dip back to where it all started, man. So there's a couple of reasons related to the show that we do why I wanted to get you on here. Let's start at the very beginning. Back in, I want to say, what was it, like 2005, 2006? You fucking with Duck Down. Oh, actually, no, let's go back further than that. Your first album, Indestructible, came out right around 2008. It was brought to you by the late, great Sean Price. Pete! Rest in peace, Sean Price. How did the relationship start between you and Sean Price? How far back did it go? What brought you into the Duck Down situation?
I met Sean P like 96, and my manager introduced me to him. I was putting out a lot of singles, a lot of different joints, doing showcases and, putting out vinyls and shit. And he's Rock's cousin, my manager, my man Errol.
Okay.
So he was like, yo, I want to introduce you to Skelter because they working on their second album, which was Magnum Folks. And he was like, I want to try to get you on the album. I was like, hell yeah. I was a big fan of Boot Camp, way before that. And so he brought Sean Price around my way. And this is when Sean had first cut his dreads. You know how Helter Skelter had the dreads and shit.
Right.
And he first cut his hair. And he came through and I rhymed for him and shit. And he loved it. And we've been clicking ever since, man. And I got on that second album, the title track Magnum Force and a song called Gangs All Hit. And then, I was rolling with the camp ever since.
And I bumped that Magnum Force album like crazy. I actually worked that album. I was in college in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I had a priority account. So I was working that album, especially since they had that distribution deal. And the standout joint to me, like not to sleep on what you did, but it was tripping because with the West Coast, East Coast nonsense that was happening, we already knew, like the world already knew the connection between Boot Camp and Tupac. Yet,
and they had the
dope man. That man. First of all, Daz is from. He's from Oklahoma. He went to high school in Oklahoma, and that's where I grew up at. But so we went ape shit when we heard that Dog Pound had did a song that Daz produced. And it was like, man, that's just the baseline. Everything was just crazy. So like, yeah, that's my favorite joint on that album, particularly is that. But I'm gonna go back. And definitely check the joint out that you on as well. Fast forward a little bit, we get to Duck Down doing this huge independent thing, going is completely leaving the priority situation. It ran its course, and Sean Price sat down for a minute, came back, reinvented the wheel, brand new career, mixtapes galore coming from Smith and Wesson got their name back. Sean Price is Sean Price, no longer Ruckus. We're hearing teases of Dirt. Rock got his shit going on, and then he come back, and then all of a sudden, we hear Scooby Doo, and then we hear Ric Flair, and it's your ass, the Hate Your Boy, Vic Flair. Talk about it, man. You a huge wrestling head back then, or you still watching that? Like, talk about that whole process with the record and its popularity.
Well, when I was younger, I was definitely a big wrestling fan, man, of Ric Flair, of Hulk Hogan, of you know, a whole bunch of wrestlers and shit. But when I was working on the first album, this is when I already got the go ahead from Buckshot, you know, to start working on the new album. And I hit up a lot of producers, and one of the producers, he brought me a few beats that was like samples of video games, cartoons, different shit like that. And I picked that Vic Flair, the Scooby-Doo joint. And, you know, then I came up with that hook, you know, with the, and called it Vic Flair and shit. And then we actually used Flair's audio from like a VHS tape from, you know, one of the WrestleMania tapes or some shit. Cause I said it with my own voice, like, woo! But and I was like, you know what? We need to get that real Flair voice on there and shit. And that shit came out crazy. So, you know, that's how that worked out. But I never got to... Then I never got back in contact with that producer. That's why I didn't put it on Indestructible on my first album. So I never got to drop that single.
Word.
You know what I mean? So the video came out, went crazy. Everybody loved the single. I've been performing that joint till this day. But I never put it out.
Catch the hate, your boy Vic Flair floating in an Aerovac. 26-inch Giovanni's or that 07 Jaguar XK Pharaoh set. Blow you like a black Giordano, see you broke it in the peasant with the pockets of a pauper. I take money like a true Brooklyn New Yorker. My bottom bitch brain game hella proper. Bust me off like she was gripping a metal chopper. Rat niggas snitching, they itching to tell a copper. Had them pigs coming with tanks and helicopters. I'm making dollars like a microphone doctor. Without an EP, still wrecking your whole roster. The headbanger, the hollow tip lead ringer. The cop killer, the spot lock block thriller. The motherfucker that'll put five in your mama. And I ain't talking bullets, son, baby mama drama. Woo! I'm steady counting G-stacks like. Woo! In the track, flipping G-packs like. Woo! Blowing sky, my guzzle in that yak like. Woo! Yeah, it's the hate your boy, Vic Flair. Woo! Shorty pick it up, drop it low like. Woo! Blowing dice, throwing C-low like. Woo! Something when I step through the door like. Woo! Yeah, it's the hate your boy, Vic Flair. Your single sucks and your album is trash. You talk greasy, fuck a record, I'ma bust your ass. Niggas going back and forth, but nobody got going off. It just proves they whack and they soft. I'm indestructible, can't be destroyed. So when your label drop you, you can't be employed. I got a Mac that spit like Superfly. Pimp, 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 lift your ass super high. Slick Vic, the ruler on the reign of destruction. A killer cartel, entertainment production. Living legend making history. Rep for the pioneers, these new jack niggas ain't shit to me. See you in the streets, I'ma rock your ass. 12 feet deep, drop your ass. Fuck you talking about? Nigga frontin' like he got this smash. Ain't nobody gon' cop your ass. Fuck you talking about? Woo! I'm steady counting G-stacks like. Woo! In the trap, flipping G-packs like. Woo! Blowing sky, my guzzle in that yak like. Woo! Yeah, it's the hate your boy, Vic Flair. Woo! Shorty pick it up, drop it low like. Woo! Blowing dice, throwing C-low like. Woo! Something when I step through the door like. Woo! Hey yo, I do it for my Bucktown crooks and killers out of Brooklyn. They hate your boy Vic Flair, yeah, Rusty Jukes, man. KC fitted in some suede MBs with some bodies on my cannon, riding on my enemies. Like anybody hood, any town, any zone. I'm the reason why Richie caught two in I am dome. Cause I don't give a fuck, like what nigga, buck, buck. The cops coming still, what nigga, buck, buck. I tear the club up, then burn the bitch down. Rock the ruler, nigga, how that shit sound. I'm a living legend, making history, rep for the pioneers. These new jack niggas ain't shit to me. Woo! I'm steady counting G-stacks like. Woo! In the trap, flipping G-packs like. Woo! Blowing sky, my guzzle in that yak like. Woo! Yeah, it's the hate your boy, Vic Flair. Woo! Shorty pick it up, drop it low like. Woo! Blowing dice, throwing C-low like. Woo! Something when I step through the door like. Woo! Yeah, it's the hate your boy, Vic Flair.
TheBeastRadio.com. That's one thing that stands out, not just about Vic Flair, but about like all your joints, man. Every song that you do, it sounds like you're on stage. It sounds like you're doing it in the studio, preparing to rock the shit on stage. A lot of times when cats record, they don't what they say doesn't translate to be a live performance type of record. But every record sounds like you ready to perform it on a moment's notice. Boom, track TV track is on. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of the majority of my joints I do like that, man. Because I'm thinking about, you know, yeah, I'm thinking about being on stage ripping that shit. You know what I mean? So it's definitely, man, that's how I knock them out.
Let me change gears real quick. Lady Blaze. Talk about Lady Blaze, man.
Lady Blaze, man, that's my little sister, man. She passed away 2007 from lupus and shit. And
God bless.
Know, it was just me and her. It was just me and her. We was, you know, the only two kids, you know, from my mom. We got, you know, a long... She was my biggest fan, you know what I mean? Musically, with anything, you know what I mean? She was always... she always looked up to me, man. And me and my sister had a tight relationship, man. And she was one of the illest, man. Like, she was a you know, a good friend to her friends. She's a very loyal person, you know what I mean? And she was just beautiful, man.
Yeah, you let a freestyle of hers, just like some corner shit, just pop up on the Indestructible album, and no overhyping the impact that this had. The song that you did for her after her passing on your Indestructible album is, to me, it's up there with Dear Mama in terms of like songs to pay homage to someone that you love dearly. Like it's one of those joints, and just like I said before, it sounded like you went into the studio with all that on your heart, but at the same time ready to rock in front of a crowd too.
Yeah, man. And that was one of the hardest songs to write, and that's one of those songs that you have so much to say, but it's just now you like, damn, I gotta fit this in three verses.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I did the best I could with that, and then I also got my man Law on there, and he sang the hook, and he's one of my childhood friends. He's a little older than me, but he knew my sister as well, so he sang on the hook, man, and the shit just came out perfect.
Yeah, you can tell it's a lot of heart, a lot of sweat equity went into that record, man. But it was it's very powerful, and I won't even front. Got a lump in my throat first time I heard it. I'm like, yo, who is this? Who is he talking about? And I listened to it again, realized, oh shit, like I couldn't even imagine. So
you are turned into the Broken Pencil Booking Company.
Supernova queen in a physical frame. Since May 23rd, 1985 through to April 9th, 07, date of her demise. She left behind a daughter, her mother, and one brother. Two nephews that dearly, sincerely loved her. A true friend she was, down for her homegirls. A Gemini, she gave you the best of both worlds. Heaven if you respected her and treated her right. Or she could raise hell from morning through the heat of the night. Her heart was so big, her smile was so bright. Her eyes were so pretty, you hooked at first sight. Her voice was so strong, she would always make her presence known. Spitting hard body lyrics on the microphone. I was gonna take it to the top with my sister. She in a better place, but damn, I miss her. Got me going crazy.
Since you've been gone, I've been losing my mind.
Got me crazy.
But I know I'll see you again next time.
Got me crazy.
My heart, mind, and soul, and the words in this rhyme is for love only.
I keep her in my prayers. I know she watching over me. It's hard to move on thinking this shit ain't supposed to be. My niece with her father now, but I'ma keep her close to me. Every chance I get, you need, you gon' roll with me. Cause all I got is 21 years worth of memories to reminisce over Blaze to the death of me. I taught her how to ride a bike, how to write a rhyme. She was the biggest Rusty Jux fan of all time. When she was chillin' in my room watching flicks with me, smoking weed, laughing while you kick some new shit to me. Yo, it's Lady Blaze from Crown Heights. Then I look at you and nod like, yeah, that sounds tight. Miss grabbing you and holding you down when I pass gas, and you be screaming, get off of me, trying to break fast. Damn, I was gonna take it to the top with my sister. Damn, I miss her. Got me going crazy.
Since you've been gone, I've been losing my mind.
Got me crazy.
But I know I'll see you again next time.
Got me crazy.
My heart, mind, and soul, and the words in this rhyme is for love only.
LeBron, I apologize for everything I said to hurt you. Never meant to desert you or cause you pain. All the fallouts we had kept us distant for a minute, but I couldn't stay mad at you. We love without a limit. Every time I left, you used to say, take me with you. Then I would say, alright, if you don't listen, I'ma hit you. You did what you wanted to, live life your way. I said, smooth it out, you always came the raw way. Never backed down, always stood strong. Showed them scared bros how to get their hood on. I was gonna take it to the top with my sister. Goddamn, I miss her. Got me going crazy.
Since you've been gone, I've been losing my mind. Got me going crazy. But I know I'll see you again. That's got me going crazy. My heart, mind, and soul, and the words in this rhyme.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Lady Blaze. Moving forward, man. Then, like the next thing I heard from you, Marco Polo. Marco Polo comes in with the execution. Marco was already like making the name for himself, coming from Toronto to Brooklyn, and then got linked up with Master Ace. But everything that came through Brooklyn came through the boot camp, and then you got a piece of the action too, man. Talk about your and also, shouts out to Marco Polo. Marco Polo was the first producer for the Broken Pencil Booking Company that give us full clearance to use, you know, any and everything that he has. He said, just whenever that check comes, just remember who got it from first. So Marco's a genuine dude, man. Talk about that relationship with Marco Polo.
Yeah, man, I met Marco at a few different shows, you know, just being around, just with the music and everything. And then, you know, he was working on an album. And he went, he told me to come through, you know, where he was staying at in Brooklyn to, you know, get a beat from him for, you know, so I could write to the joint. And when I got over there, he gave me like a CD with like 8 different tracks on it. And then I wrote to all of them shits, you know what I mean? And they all came out dope. I came back to his crib and I started recording them. And he was like, yo, let's just make a whole album. And that's how the execution got started.
Yeah, man. And then here we are in 2020. Like, you, I know you had
celebrated the 10-year anniversary on that album, man.
Word. Okay. Oh, shit. A round of applause for that, man. Yeah. A lot of people can't be around that long. And on top of that, you dropped just bodies of work in between time. In fact, this year alone, you had with James Brown in the Underground, Sulfuric Acid with Zealot. And what else you have dropped this year? Because we're gonna talk about our album Archetype.
Yeah, that was 2012.
So the VIC joint? No, I thought you did another one recently.
Yeah, I did 4 albums since last November. I dropped.
Yeah.
It was Magma, produced by Tone Spliff.
Tone Spliff, what up, Tone Spliff?
Yeah, man, he's out of Cali. And then December, I dropped Culturally Rich, produced by Big Bob, and he's from Canada as well. And then January came, I dropped Sulfuric Acid, and then July, I dropped James Brown of the Underground, produced by Amadeus 360.
Yeah, and all them joints, everyone is different. You know, it's the same Rusty. Everyone is different, man. Out of like all your joints that you've done, like which one, if you had to introduce some. Like Suave Burgundy, you got to introduce somebody new, you know what I'm saying, to your work. Out of everything that you've done in the last 10 years, or even like really the last 15, what would you tell them to go check out first?
Damn, I would tell them, I would definitely tell them check out my album Meteorite, produced by Kayo Itachi.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Check Meteorite, check out The Execution with Marco. VIC with the Archetype, shit, and James Brown definitely, and Ready to Jux. Yeah, word. You know, I mean, I love all my albums, man. I would tell them to listen to those.
Yeah, that's like trying to tell somebody to pick their favorite child. Like, asking disrespectful questions.
Nah, because one thing I can't stand. One thing I can't stand, Suave, is somebody that'd be like, yo, all bullshit aside, this is like the best shit I ever done. I took all my heart and soul and put it into this shit. And you know, full well, they didn't hold a candle to the third single off the first album. Like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing?
And we as MCs are conditioned to go into every project with that same energy.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, we gonna feel like that, even if the end result may not be the same as your favorite. Look, we always gonna go in there with that same energy.
It's been years since I picked up a microphone and said some shit that rhymed, besides, you know, me bullshitting with you on here. But let me tell you something. If I hear bullshit, if I hear garbage, like, that shit's not going out. And a lot of people putting that garbage out. Speaking of that, Rusty, who you fucking with right now musically? Who are you listening to? Like, give me your playlist for I'm hopping in the whip with Rusty. What Rusty playing for me?
Damn, man. You know what, man? That's hard to say because I've been working on my shit so long. I mean, you know, I'm really consumed with my own music, man. Like, I do a lot of features. No, seriously, I do a lot of features. I'm working on my shit nonstop. I got another album getting ready to drop this year. But I do listen to music, you know, in and out and shit, man. Like, I listened to that last Gangstar album. That shit was the shit
hard,
to me, man.
Shit's hard, yeah.
One of the best yet. What else, man? I've heard a few joints off the Papoose joint, man. That's dope. The Benny the Butcher joint. I just listened to the fucking, the King Disease album. The Nas joint, and I just listened to the Busta joint. That shit is crazy.
You got some early Conway action on your shit too. What album was that on? I heard that's some Conway.
Sulfuric Acid.
Yeah,
that's Sulfuric Acid, the one that dropped in January.
Yeah, I'm just minding my business, cruising. I heard the laugh. I'm like, wait a minute, Griselda. And sure enough, yeah, man. Going back to probably Mike Tyson. Sean Price, one of my guys has sent me a text message. I'm trying to find it right now because he wanted me to ask you this particular question. Shout out to the motherfucking Rapture down in Atlanta. He from Jersey, and he was a huge Sean Price fan, and so we always talk shit about him saying on Wax that
you already know this was going on.
Yeah, you're his son. He goes right. You goes right. Like, he goes right for you. So if you like Rusty Jook shit, you better like Sean Price shit. And then what I told him was, I said, the ultimate slap in the face, the ultimate last laugh was when you said that you ghostwrite for Sean Price when he couldn't be here to defend himself. I was like, if there's ever a moment that I would describe as the way I would want somebody to take me out, that's how I want to go. I was right there. What his question was, he said, was the last bar in Apex's Apex a closeout to you and Ruck? Either way, he loves a line. Yeah, either way, he loves a line, but it went extra hard because it was posthumous.
Yeah. You know, I had to end it like that because I started it, man. It was a song that we had. He recorded this one, and when we was in Spain, I forgot which part of Spain, but it was a song called Bueno Times. And that's on the, not Mike Tyson, it's on the Kimbo Price, my bad.
Okay, yeah.
It's on the Kimbo Price joint, right? And at the end of that song, I just started talking shit. And I was like, yo, man, if you're a Sean Price fan, I know you're a Sean Price, Rusty Jux fan. You know what I mean? I've wrote all his shit. You know what I mean? I was just talking shit at the end of the record. And he left it there. And I was like, yeah. So I was hype about it. Then it seems like when I dropped the execution, and he said it, he was like, yo, because I was waiting for him to put his verse on my album for so long. We was about to close it up. And then he was like, yo, did you, I laid my verse. Did you hear it from Marco yet? And I was like, nah. So I went to listen to it. And then he got me back. And he's like, yeah, I wrote all Rusty shit. And I was like, holy shit. But it seemed like everybody heard his part first. You know what I mean? Like, they heard that shit when I said it, but they really heard it when he said
Yeah. Especially when the Marco shit, because he's talking about how he had it. He wanted to change his line, but he's like, nah.
I'm the one that said it first. He just got me back. Then we went on. We did like two more joints. You know what I mean, like that and shit. So, yeah, that shit was just crazy, man.
I had the privilege of rocking the stage with Sean Price here in Dallas. My only time ever in Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, whatever, was opening up. Shout out to Jay Rhodes. I was DJing for Jay Rhodes while Sean Price and Guilty Simpson were the headliners.
Yeah.
And that shit was fun. But I will tell you this though, we were shopping for some low sweaters. They had some crazy ass low sweaters because it was a sneaker convention First thing I did was after I got introduced to him, walked up to him, I said, yo, you mind if we take this picture? You know, I'm a huge Rusty Jux fan. He was like, ah, there you go. Yeah, got him.
That's funny. Yeah, 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 though. You know what I mean? He's my ghostwriter and shit, so you got to thank him when you see him.
Yeah, stunk his ass. Suave, what you got, man?
Oh, man. First off, congratulations on the new placement with Jake Atlas. Talk to us a little bit about the background on that, how that came together, the steps that became necessary to bring that all together.
So the which joint is that?
The Jake Atlas joint. The joint is, what is it? Stand Strong with Archetype.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I'm like, Jake Atlas and shit. Then now I'm thinking about it. All right. That was the wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Archetype started working on that album, and when we got into it, we was like, this is gonna be the concept, no sampling on the album. He's just gonna play everything out, and I wasn't gonna curse on the whole album. And everybody that I got featured on the album was looking at me like I was bugging, man. Like, I got Already the Rugged Man, Sadat X, Guilty Simpson, Ill Bill, and everybody was like, no curses. Like, I was just like, yeah, man, just you know what I mean, bar it out. And the shit came out so dope. And we did that on with the purpose of, because we was trying to have it licensed. We wanted to get it licensed so we could just get, you know, placements on, you know, movies, video games.
Absolutely.
You know, everything, you know what I mean? So, and it worked out, man. Like, we got the shit everywhere for a few years. Like, they played it on the beginning of the last season of Power. They played,
yep.
I think they played Stand Strong on that one, too. Then they played the joint I got called Champion with King Magnetic on a ESPN. You know what I mean? It's been played a lot of places and shit, man. So this was the latest joint that it got rocked on the you know, Jake Atlas using it as his entrance music. I just seen somebody tweet it, and I was looking for the footage so I could post it, but I ain't see the footage.
Oh, don't worry, we'll get you. we'll get you, cause like, I mean, that's an every Wednesday thing, man, and that's part of our homework assignment for when we record. So like, yeah, we'll I'll make sure I get you something and send it to you.
Yeah, man. So that shit just still paying off to this day, man. That's a beautiful thing.
Feel it in the air, approaching from the rear, trying to choke the breath out my lungs, so I duck, dodge, then I dip, triple front flip, my way out the depths of the slums. Dreams never came to life, prison was the price to pay for my class A crimes. The rage, I put it on page, took it to the stage, hype trying to blast A time. Heed these words spoken by a wise man, follow my path, see through my eyes, and you'll come to find you must keep God first. Sight for the blind, it's not just a hard verse. Knocking from the pens to my homies on the blocking, getting money in a spot, straight clocking. This goes out to you, the whole world's gonna feel what I'm about to do. Let's go. From our youth, what does it produce? No hope for the future of our nation. It's sad, but I won't shed a tear, cause I will never fear. I'm dedicated with determination. The will opens up a way, hoping and I pray my kids receive a greater education than I. Cause I ain't gonna lie, if I ain't have talent, robbery will be my occupation. Heed these words spoken by a wise man, follow my path, see through my eyes, and you'll come to find you must keep God first. Sight for the blind, it's not just a hard verse. Knocking from the pens to my homies on the blocking, getting money in the spot, straight clocking. This goes out to you, the whole world's gonna feel what I'm about to do. Let's go. Bun B, Pimp C type feel. R.I.P. See you when I get there. Check me out, I'm about to blow this year. Topping them charts, bringing home plaques. Bigging up my bankroll, stacking up racks. I do it for my sister, she's smiling in heaven. I mastered the art, now I'm wildin' with the weapon, for real.
You're checking out Rusty Jicks on the Broken Pencil Booking Company on DaBeastRadio.com.
Yeah, that's crazy. How long ago was it that record was recorded?
2012.
That's insane.
Yeah, we been did that record. We had the videos up and everything.
Man, that's a blessing. Be able to record something in 2012, know the concept that you were going for. You wanted placements and licensing, and in 2020 it's still getting shine. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. I didn't even, you know, I was looking for it early and I didn't think it would still be going to now. You know what I mean? I'm glad it's still rocking, man, because that's a, when you listen to the album, you don't even really think about the that it's no cursing, man. It's just dope. It's just a dope fucking album, man. And it's mixed so clean and crispy. And, you know what I mean? I did a lot of those songs, you know, like inspirational type of joints. And they played it like that, like at baseball games and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like when they jumping around, they won championship or something. And, you know what I mean? I'm glad this shit worked out.
When you're listening to music, when you're not in album mode, because I know how it is when you record and you're taking everything back and forth to the car, to the headphones, you always listen to yourself. But in those times where you're not in album mode and you're listening to rap, what are you looking for from the MCs that you listen to?
Yo, I'm looking for new shit, man. Original shit. Originality, man. Like, I just want to hear something that I've never heard before. I want them to do something that I've never seen done before. You know what I mean? Just something new. You know what I mean? So I can be like, oh shit, you could do that too? Like, this is dope. And you know what I mean? I like to hear the perspective of somebody, especially an artist from, I've even heard hip hop from his shit. And I want to hear about what goes on over there. You know what I mean? That was the beautiful thing about hip hop, how this shit went worldwide. And we got to understand what's going on in the slang in Compton, the slang in Oakland, you know what I mean? Or anywhere, you know what I mean? From Japan to Australia, you know what I mean? It's like, this shit went worldwide. So, you know, I just love to hear new shit, man, original shit.
Yeah, so you're talking about worldwide. Where do you think your biggest international fan base is?
I would definitely say, I have a big fan base in the States, man, but in Europe, it's real different, man. Like, I've been all over Europe and shit. And the responses are always crazy, man, over there. Like, everywhere from Spain to places like Slovakia, Poland, you know what I mean? Even Russia and shit. And 3 years ago, I did a tour in Japan, and I didn't know it was that crazy, man. Like, they was coming to the shows. Every show was sold out except for, like, two. And all of them shits was just, everybody was bringing records for me to sign and shit, man. It was a dope experience, man. But I would probably say Europe.
Yeah, man, it's funny you should say that, because I rock heavy with Do It All from Doors of the Underground. Shouts out to Strickland from EMC. Strick,
definitely.
Strick love going over there and then just coming back. And we'd always like, we would live vicariously through you guys, man, just because you guys would go over there. Like, we know pieces of the puzzle, and then those pieces would go over there and send us back what they deal with 3-4 times a year. And all we had to do is just revel in, like, yo, that's like regular. Like, y'all over there, this is regular for y'all. Like, this shit is like phenomenal to us. And it's like they're stuck in the 90s and like they appreciate what's real, like what's genuine,
right? Like, I would get off the stage, man, and they'd be like, yo, man, I love the performance. Yo, next week we got Ghostface, and you know what I mean, or next month or whatever. Like, they just be ready for the next shit, you know what I mean? They looking for that. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that shit is definitely dope. Like, even to be walking over there, I'm halfway across the world, and motherfuckers recognizing me in the street over there. Yo, Rusty Jux. I'm like, yo, this shit's crazy.
Meanwhile, you come somewhere like Oklahoma City and be like, you rap?
Yeah, this shit is crazy. Yeah. You never know, man. Like it's funny like that. But you know what? I like that shit because I don't know if I wanted to be like, you know. I mean, everybody want to be, you know, they want to be famous. They want their music to be, you know, widespread and shit. But I don't know if I could handle that shit too tough if it was like too bad. Like I couldn't go nowhere. You know what I mean? I think this shit would be too much for me. But yeah, man, I get that in. Like I got a like crazy fan base in Brooklyn, especially New York and shit, man. But then it's sometimes somebody will say something just like that, like, oh, you rhyming? Oh, you still rhyming? Still rhyming. I'm like, still rhyming? I just came off tour. What the fuck you talking about? This is my 14th album right here.
That's that slick shit make you want to pop your resume in somebody's face. Like, I'm still rhyming.
Yeah, but you know, I'll never do it, though. I never do it. I just be like, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't have nothing to prove to them, man. Like, I got a fan base that people in my direct messages all the time telling me they love me, they respect me, they call me a legend. So I don't have to be like, yo, I'm this and this. Like, it makes no sense to me, man. You know what I mean? I just do my thing.
Now, that's a great way to handle it.
Yeah, straight with humility, man. That's the only way people will truly remember you.
Like, it's people with Rusty Jux tattoos, man. Like, I got murals in different places, man. Like, you know what I mean? I know all of that shit. I don't have to be, you know what I mean, like, putting it out there for to be proven to somebody and shit. Like,
man. Yeah, for real.
Like, I'm on a wall in the country I can't pronounce. Fuck with me.
Yeah, man. Like, it's like, then when they see that, then they like, oh shit. You know what? It's crazy. Like, a lot of people from in Brooklyn, like some people that grew up with it that didn't know the magnitude of, you know, how people know about my music and shit, and they see me and then they be like, oh, you got the blue, yo, they hit me in the direct message like, yo, how you get the blue check? I'm like,
the fuck?
What you talking about, how I get the blue check? Like,
I'm official.
Motherfucker, yo, I put in work all these years, motherfucker. Then they be like, oh shit, you was out there? What word? You know, like Instagram brought shit to the front. You know what I mean? So now they can see pictures, they can see footage and shit. They like, wow. Like, motherfucker, it been like that. I told you.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, Cats be super active and don't realize that they on the fan page with, like, you know, a million followers, yet they sitting there wondering, like, why you only got 2 likes? Like, calm down. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. For real. What you munching on over there, man? You know, it's dinner time everywhere.
My daughter just passed me with a bowl of grapes and shit. She just had a mad grapes. Oh. Game.
Oh yeah, I see. That's right. Cause you put on some pounds, man. You was frail. You was frail. You put on probably what 20 pounds recently?
Man, listen, I've been skinny my whole life, man. Like my whole life. And last year, I you know what I noticed? I never could gain weight while I'm smoking. Like, I'm the heavy smoker. Like, heavy smoker. Heavy. Like, serious, man. Like, and I stopped smoking. I started working out. You know what I mean? I got my pull-up and dip bar. I got my other shit here. I bought everything in the home gym. And I went from, like, at one point when I was doing real bad, like, when my sister passed, I had lost crazy. I was up there at, like, 130, some shit like that.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Like, 3 years, man, I was like doing bad from that shit, man. Me and my mom both was going through similar shit. And so, you know, once I got my shit back on track, and, you know, this time I was like, you know, I just made the decision to stop burning because I was spending so much money on that shit, like more than rent money, like heavy money and shit. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to slow down for a minute. And I started just gaining weight, man. I started working out and shit. Now I'm at 185. I was never 185 in my life. You know what I mean? So, I just
20 pounds my ass. That's a 50 piece and some change.
Yeah, that was a lot of weight, man. A lot of weight, man. Now my wife be mad at me and shit. She like, damn, now you always hot, shit. And now you all, you know, I be opening the windows and shit. She like, damn, before you was cold like me, man. How you the fuck? Everything is a problem now, shit. Yeah, man, shit is crazy now. Now I got a problem with my gut and shit. I gotta work my, I gotta do some sit-ups.
That's just gonna be the that's the hardest shit to work off. Shit,
but your stomach got mad big. What the fuck?
Man, I've been working on mine shit for fucking 15 years, man. I ain't gave up, but it's coming. It's coming soon. Change coming.
Damn it, bro.
Hey, that magnesium citrate is the start of that shit. I'm telling you.
The last go round.
Man,
that's the hardest shit right there. But it could be done.
How many kids y'all got, man?
Well, I have two with my wife right here. My son is 13 and my daughter is 9. And my oldest son is 22.
Any spitters coming out the Jux camp?
Yo, you know what? I think if anybody gonna do it, it's gonna be my daughter. Like, my daughter loves to sing. She's been singing since she was, I don't even remember, like, when she wasn't, you know what I mean? And she's into music heavy with me. Like, she sit here and watch all the old school new videos, and I sit here and watch Apollo with her, you know what I mean? Showtime with the Apollo with her. Like, she loved music, man. My oldest rapped on two of my albums. He was on the hook to the song called Get Up. We performed that shit at BB King's and smashed that shit.
Word, okay.
A few times, man. He was my hype man for years, shit, my oldest son.
That's crazy.
He was on the Ready to Jux album too. He had a verse on that one. So, you know, I've always had them. I had my daughter on the hook to a feature that I did like 2 years ago and shit. You know what I mean? So they've always known, you know, how to do this shit, man. It's just up to them if they want to go that route.
Word.
Now let's rap, rock, roll. Playboy got too much soul. When you ride through, you gotta pay a toll. So baby girl, put your plans on hold. I'm a brook, non-prepper. Got the game laid out on the stretcher. 3 outs, hit the field when I catch ya. Never gambled in my life, but I bet ya. Rap, career, it's over. You ain't never caught shots, you a doja. Didn't wanna, but I had to expose ya. Full force, never lost my composure. I can't be faded. Stop hating, be glad that I made it. On repeat, mad loud when you played it. Like a semi-automatic, I sprayed it. Trial. Cool nigga with an OG style. You ain't hear no shit like this in a while. I'm a bar, buried, beast. On you whack MCs, I'm a feast. Always drop something hot for the streets. They go and cop it when the album get released. Cause I'm crowned, heist, king. The mayhem and destruction I bring. Make them rats and them birds wanna sing. Tryna get a nigga locked in the bing, but I can't be stopped. I seen your album when that bullshit dropped. You shot a brick, man, that shit just flopped. Ready to Jux, just can't be stopped.
The Broken Pencil Booking Company on TheBeastRadio.com.
So you've already dropped 4 albums in the last 12 months. You say you got another one to drop. The year ends next month. Like, what more do you have?
Yo, yeah, me and my man Detonate, man. He's a dope MC from out of London and shit, man. Black artists and shit, man. That's my man. When so we've been working. We did it like 20-something, 26 joints, man. And we picked the best 12, and we getting ready to drop that soon. Like, I'm shooting a video for the first single, and we getting ready to drop it this month. This month, early December. You know what I mean? So we're gonna end the year out with a bang.
Word. All right, there it is. You know, I'm gonna be right there, front and center, waiting for it to drop. And of course, anytime you got anything that you wanna shout out or bring on. You got a home here at the Broken Pencil Booking Company and at the Beast Radio. We got you locked in, man. We're music in rotation. We got you first place of promo, man. We'll push it out there for you. It's nothing.
You're looking, man. I appreciate it, man. Word up.
Twa, before we get out of here, man, you got anything else for Rusty?
Man, I just appreciate you coming on the show, dropping this knowledge with us, spending a little time chopping it up. Before you get out of here, I know you said back in the day you were a wrestling fan. Give me your top 5 from the time you were watching wrestling, your top 5 favorite wrestlers.
All right. I would definitely say Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Ultimate Warrior. Damn, man. Shit. That's 3. What's his name? My man, Ravishing Rick Rude.
Okay. Like that one, yeah.
And the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Legion of Doom.
There it is.
Yeah.
Like, there it is.
That's a nice round list right there. That's
record time.
Yeah, you gotta go back. Like, you, someone tell you go watch some five wrestlers and they give you that list of five, you're gonna be sitting in front of the TV for hours on end.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, man. Well, yo, we appreciate you jumping on, Rusty Jux, man. What's the album that's out right now?
The album that's out right now is James Brown of the Underground, man. So you can get that anywhere, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere digital music is at.
And where are the physical copies? You got any physical copies that's out there?
Oh, yeah. I'm selling them. Them shit's flying out the rack, man. Everybody, you could just contact me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I personally ship out all of those CDs.
And give me socials so they know where to follow you.
Well, you can reach me on Instagram is Rusty_motherfucking_Jux. On Twitter is RustyJux357. On Facebook is Rusty Jux.
And that's RUSTE_MUTHAFUCKIN_JUXX on Instagram. So Rusty Jux, Crown Heights finest. You know what I'm saying? Right. Brooklyn has quite the pedigree in terms of like MCs. Just like, cause like so many neighborhoods within the borough: Bed-Stuy, Crown Heights, Brownsville. And y'all like, even to this day, y'all still battle back and forth about like where the best MCs coming from out of Brooklyn.
Nah, we just say Brooklyn, man. We just say who the best out of New York and shit.
Yeah, I just say Brooklyn. Brooklyn. There it is, man. All right, man. Rusty Jux, ladies and gentlemen. He, you know what I'm saying? James Brown, the Underground in stores right now. And by in stores, I mean your online outlets, because face it, ain't nobody letting you walk up in their fucking stores. You don't like wearing masks and shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. fucking shit up.
Hey. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. You say that bitch again. I know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. You know who ain't gon' win. We say that bitch again.
I said I won.
1, 2, 3.
Get your tail.
Said I won. 1, 2, 2, 3.
Get the fuck on.
1, 2, 2, 3.
Get your tail.
Said I won.
1, 2, 2, 3.
Get the fuck gone.
Hey. Once again, it's time for another edition of You Know Who Ain't Gonna Win, featuring the Petty Messiah.
I'm here. And this is brought to you by the good people at Malto Mill and Quaker Oats. Thanks.
Who aren't paying us, but TheBeastRadio.com is.
At all. We ain't got a pack of, nothing. Like, we ain't got no yellow box with no Malto Mill on it.
We ain't got no name. We got not another pocket of instant oatmeal. Nothing.
Not a thing.
Yo, so anyway, we're here for You Know Who Ain't Gonna Win, because out of nowhere, it was forming, but now we have a whole card for AEW Full Gear. Second year they've done this. Coming up this Saturday, November the 7th. Yev our Lord. 20 and 20.
Amen.
And let's start it off with the one thing we haven't talked about, because we've just been busy over here, the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and radio show infused with hip hop. There is a new NWA Women's World Champion in Serena Deeb, as she defeated Thunder Rosa last week. And so she'll be defending her newly crowned championship, or newly won championship, versus Allison Kay at the buy-in pre-show for the AEW Full Gear pay-per-view. Petty Messiah, tell him who ain't gonna win.
Allison Kay.
There is absolutely no way Allison Kay wins this one.
Allison Kay.
Pretty cut and dry. All right,
next one. Thunder Rosa ain't got a rematch. Serena's out there on the belt for a week and a half. There's absolutely no way Allison Kay wins this one.
Famo, we ain't got time for this.
Orange Cassidy versus John Silver. Petty Messiah, tell him who ain't gonna win.
John 4 Silver.
I'm gonna 4. I want to say to that, I don't think Orange Cassidy's going to win.
So you think homegrown talent is not going to win over an outsider?
Yeah, at a pre-show? Okay. And someone who's on the come up too? Nah, there's...
Hey, you get old, fam. You lose a step right now.
Wow.
Oh, this is tragic. All right. Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara, Elite Deletion match. Now, here's a problem I have with this match.
Sammy Guevara!
There.
Sammy Guevara ain't winning.
Is this the all out do over?
You think Sammy Guevara is going to win an Elite Deletion? Are you crazy?
Deletion.
Why are we having this question?
Simply a do-over.
Hey, Suave, add this to the list of stats that we need to get for the Broken Pencil Booking Company. We need to know how many ultimate or how many deletion match Matt Hardy's actually lost.
I can fill that in for you.
I'm not going to do the research. I'm not going to do it.
Just on GP, he's never lost not one.
For the dumbest match of the night, which is probably going to be the most entertaining, depending on your perspective, the demo guy, Chris Jericho, versus Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. The stipulation in this match is, if MJF wins this match, he'll be allowed to join the Inner Circle. I don't know.
You hear that? Did you hear that deafening silence?
Do we even want to predict this match?
Brian routine they pulled off 2-3 weeks ago. I really don't care.
For the sake of continuity, I'm off.
Chris Jericho ain't gonna win.
I totally agree with you. Unless there's an ultimate swerve and MJF now becomes a de facto face because he gets jumped by the Inner Circle. But I seriously doubt that happens.
We have to increase his heel nature.
They turn Chris Jericho into the face. Because MJF and the Inner Circle kick Chris Jericho out.
That's he becomes Shawn Michaels the DX.
Yeah. You said what?
Chris Jericho becomes Shawn Michaels to DX.
Wow. He lost his smile.
It's wishful thinking.
You're out.
I'm gonna go with a strong no.
Here's the thing.
yo, one of these days I'm gonna start recording these phone conversations. Me and Petty had a 20-minute diatribe about here's the thing.
We did.
Here's the thing. Come on, man. This is not how we planned this to go at all.
For the AEW Women's Championship, your champion, Hikaru Shida, taking on Nyla Rose, Petty Messiah. Please tell the people who ain't gonna win.
Well, it was nice to know you, Sheeta. Not even to go get a belt back.
Yeah, we got other things to do, fam. Let's just push this forward.
Nyla Rose will be the first 2-time AEW champion. So there's that. Yeah. We'll make it easy. And new. Hashtag and new. Soundbite. I hear a soundbite coming.
Rest in peace, speak, man.
Yeah, I hear a soundbite for me.
And brand new.
All right, the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament Finals. Something that we probably didn't see at the beginning of the tournament, but we definitely going to see it now. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. Petty Messiah, who ain't going to win?
I don't know.
That's an acceptable answer, but we got to come with somebody.
I don't know. Like, that's a hard one to call.
So,
gun to my head.
Here's a story. Here's a story, real quick, though. Both of these guys have already, and I heard you say Paige. We'll come back to that in a second. But both of these guys have already competed for the AEW Championship. Hagman was first. Kenny Omega was, I believe, the second challenger for the AEW title. And
who has it now, by the way?
Moxley.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. <Ow. laughs> So now, Moxley's the champion. Yeah. No. Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, swerve. Ooh. Swerve alert.
What? Wait, what was the swerve here?
No one wins.
Actually wins.
Nah, you use that one. You use that one in Hell in a Cell. You can't do that two pay per views in a row.
Well, here's the thing. see how this works.
It works.
Here's the thing.
If I got the pencil, I definitely put a three.
This actually makes sense, Swab, because if I just said both of these guys were the first two challengers for the AEW championship. And
he hasn't had a three-man match for the championship yet. Mox hasn't, has he?
Nah, he hasn't.
Nah.
It writes itself. You let them try to kill each other every week until the actual match? Yeah.
I'll only ride with it because of the triple threat. But that's real WWE-esque booking.
That's definitely not Rhodes-ish.
That is not holding true to anything AEW's been doing. That's the only reason I feel like it might not happen. But because of the triple threat option, I'll allow it.
Mills Lane in the building.
Mills Lane, everybody.
Yeah, I'll allow it. Whatever the internet consensus is, basically that Kenny wins. Goes on to challenge Moxley to avenge his loss at Full Gear last year, becomes champion, goes on his heel run as champion, and then Paige starts to dethrone him. I don't know how long the title run would be, though.
And that's the problem. That's not a transitional champion unless you're going to hot potato the championship between the two of them.
See, that's something we haven't seen in a long time as a hot potato. I like that. I really do like that.
The thing is, you act like Mox don't have a Mando. So, like, as soon as Mox lose, it's a Mando on the next one. What happens if he wins?
Are they doing automatic rematches in AEW? Because I don't.
Nothing was set in stone because we've yet to see one.
Yeah, because I don't think Jericho got an automatic rematch.
Who did the FTR beat for the tag championships?
Paige and Hangman, but part of their story is they didn't want to be a team anymore anyway.
Right. Again, all the more reason for no automatic rematches. I mean, it works. Well, that's a whole other episode. Let's keep it moving. for the AEW TNT Championship, Cody now Rose again versus Young Flyboy Darby, YFB Darby Allin.
I'm definitely sure that's not what it was.
Yeah, I'm certain it's not what it was. What it was at all.
That was YFN Darby.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
If you're gonna say it right. You know what I'm saying?
You're gonna bastardize the joke if you don't keep the integrity.
YFN Darby, because if you don't say it, then people don't get why that whole statement is just greatness.
Cody Rhodes versus YFN Darby. Petty, tell him who ain't gonna win.
YFN Darby, unfortunately.
So Cody
you
gets
don't give Cody because Cody Rhodes is Cody Rhodes, and now Cody Rhodes has to be the champion for a little bit longer.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes can't lose the belt on his first defense as Cody Rhodes in AEW.
You think the Prince of Pro Wrestling is about to be dethroned here, and he just got his name back?
You think I'm gonna miss my opportunity to be a real when I know who did it, but I ain't gonna tell you who did it? Use a whole horse.
I'm telling you that. Yeah, that's gospel music right there. That is
this is gold. For the AEW Tag Team Championships, FTR versus the Young Bucks. Petty, please, for the love of God, make this one quick. Tell them who ain't gonna win.
Oh, the Young Bucks. Man, got a whole leg in going on right now. Get well soon, though, fam.
Is there a third buck out there that we don't know about?
Jungle Boy? Yeah, Jungle Boy can Jungle Boy can be Jungle Buck. Racist undertones be damned.
Hey. Whoa.
I mean, considering that whole group anyway, you'll fit right in.
You'll fit right. I mean, he looks like the third Young Buck.
That's what they should do to elevate him. They should recruit him away from Jurassic Express and turn him into like the
Young Buck. I don't understand why he's not a Young Buck. It's not like he's a Marco stunt. You know what I'm saying? Where like it would be a noticeable size difference.
That's what's crazy. They're treating Marco stunt like he's the second coming of Bobby Heenan out there, and you're a face tag team. No,
I'm not okay with that at all.
wait, no, hold on. Now, I don't follow.
Now, I am for Jungle Book Jack. I'm for Jungle Book Jack Perry. I'm all for that.
Look, you take Luke Perry's son and you strap a rocket to him. That's what you do. Okay?
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do, yeah. That's what you do.
Him and Brian Pillman Jr. in a tag team. Like you.
And once they grow into their size, and then that's a feud that builds itself for years to come.
But for the United, you know who ain't gonna win. I don't see the Young Bucks coming out on top in this one, especially with the injury. I do see a stellar match happening, and it's gonna be close. But no, FTR for the win.
There are some other stories here too.
That stipulation on there. They put that weird stipulation on there. The Bucks don't win. They'll never challenge for the tag team titles again.
Right. Same stipulation Cody has with the world title. So Cody could, for the time being, that is. Cody couldn't challenge for the world title, but now Cody Rhodes has his name. Oh, here we go. Here we go with this nonsense.
That's a super cheap ass workaround, but I applaud your efforts.
Hey, it's a dusty workaround.
No, this is about to happen. Think about it. The Young Bucks as a tandem can't tag for the titles again, right? But if we follow what we just said and have one of the Young Bucks and Jungle Buck Perry Jr. fight over the belt, that's technically not the Young Bucks.
And it would no longer be a Freebird or a New Day rule. Then it would be a Young Buck rule.
Let's keep it real. Like, let's be all the way 100. Their executive vice presidents is, I will feel like eventually they're just going to turn heel and say, we're EVPs. We do whatever they want.
They've been trying not to be the authority for so long.
They've all but done that with this $10,000 fine angle.
You said what?
They've all but done that with this $10,000 fine angle. They've been dropping money in Tony Khan's lap, and it's probably Tony Khan's personal bag.
Yeah, it is.
that's his money. Yeah, hey, I'm going to give y'all this $10,000. No pull, no nothing out the band. Just give the band back.
Give me that back. I know how much it weighs. I got a scale right here.
I'm going to start vacuum sealing this money if I don't get it back the right way.
Like, don't pull nothing out the bag, fam. Just give it back.
The serial number on that 20 is off. Who borrowed one? For the AEW World
Championship. These bills is wrong.
For the AEW World Championship, John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. Except the order of his 20s is wrong. 1, 3. Wait a minute.
Say, fam, you know all my bills point the opposite direction.
I would take number 13 and not say nothing.
Talk about superstition.
Just not say nothing. Who's really going to count number 13?
It wasn't there. It wasn't there. Moxley versus Eddie Kingston, I Quit match. Petty, who ain't going to win?
Eddie Kingston, because we're not going to dethrone Mox.
But I think,
you
honestly,
think I'm going to take the belt off Dean Ambrose? Get out of here.
I think if there's ever a swerve, this match is it, because you have to keep in mind, Eddie has been going at it with Taz. You've got Brian Cage. You've got, what's my man, Lance Archer in the mix of this too. And they could all literally turn against Moxley in this match.
So it's just the two of them in the ring, right?
Well, it's this their match, but it's an I Quit match. That means anything goes.
Yeah, but to get win an I Quit match, somebody got to say,
I quit.
And yeah. Unfortunately, it's not like Eddie Kingston can choke out John Moxley's twin brother and make him say, I quit.
Who Mon Joxley?
Yeah, you're not choking out Ron Moxley to make him say, I quit. It's not going to happen. So because of that.
Jeez, bro. So was WWE putting the I Quit match in the cage just a huge FU to Full Gear's main event?
Yeah, it was. It really was.
That's unfortunate.
It really was. You could tell it was. But no. Moxley walks out of here with his belt. Probably by disqualification, but Moxley walks out of here with his belt.
That's underwhelming.
It is.
If an I Quit match ends in a disqualification, I feel like I have grounds to ask for.
Like, hey, we've seen Stranger Things in AEW.
I quit.
I should be able to ask for my money back if an I Quit match ends in if it ends in a disqualification. This is worse than Hell in a Cell ending on a no contest.
That was exactly where I was going with that. I said, well, we have seen Stranger Things in AEW too.
I don't want to see nothing strange. You know how much this pay per view costs?
I want to see something
$40
down the middle that
or $50. Yeah, and I want my money's worth.
It's a whole 50 spot. I'm not trying to do this with y'all.
If you get all the way to the end of the pay per view and then the last match doesn't deliver, is that grounds for like a refund?
Yeah.
Hey, so I tell you,
using the rest of the pay per view of the pay per view.
What was the pay per view swap WCW when Bret Hart was going against Goldberg and it went off the air?
It was Bret Hart. No, it was not Bret Hart. It was DDP.
DDP
and Goldberg. Halloween Havoc 98.
See, what was that? The match was going on when the pay per view ended.
Yeah, just the cut signal. Because a couple of matches ran long, so when they got to that point, I guess
TV time expired on the pay per view,
and they had to show the whole match the next night on Nitro
for free.
For the free.
Well, Eazy-E was pissed that night.
But dead ass, like, people in that situation really did call back and get refunds.
Yeah, as you should. So, okay, so then the question I ask has a clear answer. Yes.
Well, the main difference is going to be, like, on Halloween Havoc 98, people actually did not get what they paid for. In this situation and in Hell in a Cell, you just don't like what you got.
So what you're telling me is y'all can stop this match at any time? This man dropped chairs on him and he's still getting up. I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, Hell in a Cell people stayed to boo because they felt like they weren't given what they paid for. And people in the arena had every right to. At the end of the day, as far as the network, you paid $10.
Right.
Like,
we're not gonna give you.
And you probably got the and depending on how you did it, you might have got that for free.
Hey man, let me have you log in.
That part, you know, you might have logged in, shared, you might have did your first month free trial before they switched it over to this new platform. So yeah. In this situation,
go ahead.
I was saying, paying $50 for this pay-per-view and then they end a match like that. What? Kenny Omega got suplexed through a box frame of barbed wire.
Bro, no. Matt Hardy damn near died on a pay-per-view live by falling back of his head first on a slab of concrete.
His wife was pissed, and she got on Twitter and let him know as such.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Adversely, John Moxley's wife got on Twitter and was like, I do not like this.
Like, what the hell, John? But I'm saying, Moxley and Omega was a main event. So had that match ended in a no contest, people probably would have been...
rioted.
Well, within their rights to ask for
it. There would have been a riot.
Matt Hardy was a prelim type situation. That was a mid-card match with an unfortunate accident. We're talking about get to the main event and the main event doesn't deliver on the stipulations. I personally feel like that might be within reason to ask for some sort of a refund, rebate, give me the next pay-per-view free, something. Like, bad booking should have consequences.
That part. But you know what? Let's table this till next week because that's a hell of a talking point. Bad booking and the consequences for bad booking. So we'll continue that conversation next week. Swag, do me a favor, man.
Yo.
Take us to the house.
Pencil pushers. Heads up. Pencils down.
The Broken Pencil Booking Company, a pro wrestling podcast infused with hip hop. Available on all streaming platforms, including TheBeastRadio.com.